Blog Talk Radio.
That's right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the September the 15th, 2011, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. West Coast edition of the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy. Let's get it started, Sotomayor. Yes, that is correct. I am the ignition of your world. That I'm here to get it crunk. All you gotta do is put the key in, and the key is to log on to Your World My Views 3 nights a week, every week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can call in, join. This is the place where people like you can have your opinions be heard, unfiltered, uncensored. Because that's all you're going to get from me. And again, I'm your host, Mr. Tommy, TJ Sotomayor. Had a lot of people asking today, who is he? Who are you? Don't worry about that. You got Google. You got to find out who I am. Shitting me. I ain't got to explain to you who I am or what I do. I do it. And hopefully there's some out there who enjoy it. Because I enjoy having you guys around. Now, there's a lot of things going on out there in the world. I saw a lot of things today that tickled me. Some of it frustrated me. Some of it got my penis hard. I mean, there was a bunch of things I saw on the internet today, and I want to talk about as much of it as I can. But I'm glad to have you guys here. In the last show, what we talked about obesity. And what bothered me most about that discussion about obesity is that people were really upset that I was bringing this issue to the forefront. It really bothered me that people were upset with me for bringing this issue to the forefront, as if apparently my job would be to not say anything. I don't know what to do. What should I talk about if this is an issue that people do not want me to discuss? Why is it that anything that other people deem, consider a problem, then I have to leave it alone? Obesity is something that's killing black folks. And I had this woman, and I'm going to talk about it more when the music stops playing. Of course, I want you guys to go tell your friends. Log on right now. Listen to the show. You can find us at yourworldmyviews.com. You can see us at like 9-10 different damn places. All you got to do is log on, click on View Me. You can see me in all kinds of places. I look forward to it, and I hope that you guys are going to be here. And I hope you're going to be here for the duration. Again, the number is 347-989-8310. I got so much going through my mind. I have to make sure that I constantly take a look at my notes just to make sure that we talk about what I want to hit and as many points that I want to hit. And this week is called Social Consciousness Week because I talked about obesity. Today we're going to be talking about unemployment and poverty. And is this the new American reality? And then we're going to be talking about education on Saturday. And I definitely hope most of you join this show because all of you colored people got kids. And y'all should be the last people not wanting to talk about educating your kids and your damn self. But anyway, in the obesity show, I had so many people mad at me. But I had a lot of people who went and listened to it and said, you know what, I'm sorry. I got a lot of apologies from people who said, you know, I thought you were just going to spend your time bashing fat people. I said, I don't have any need to bash fat people. Besides, my arms will get tired. This is... Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. And the casket drops. Yeah. And the casket drops. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy TJ Sotomayor, and this is Your World, My Views. This is the Throwback Thursday edition of the show, where we're going to be discussing poverty and is it the new American reality? And we got some staggering numbers to share with you guys. Want to talk to you guys about how your experiences are going with the economy. And I think it's kind of sad that, you know, these are discussions I want to have. I'm not Tavis Smiley. I will get into some controversial stuff. But here's what scares me a little bit. We can't talk about things like this and get a large turnout. But if I can offend you and say something about this, you think I'm offended you and talking about fat people and whatnot, then I can get you to come out and hate me. And we had a girl say yesterday that, and I want to talk about all of this stuff. But what I want to get back on the obesity, because I had a woman today post in my little group. And if you're not in there, I don't know how you find it. Just go to like Facebook and go to yourworldmyviews.com. I mean, go to yourworldmyviews. And a group will come up, I think, and then maybe maybe one of the, what do you call them, a fan page. I'm not sure what will come up, but you can find it. But a woman posted in my group, and she posted about, and I've been offending a lot of people. It's because I've been pissed off, and I got kind of a push from Cat Williams today to let me know, I'm doing the right thing by being pissed off at people who should be pissed, who you need to be pissed off at. And if you want to talk to me at any point in time during the show, please just press the 1. The number is 347-989-8310. Press 1. I'll pick you up and talk to you about anything you want to talk about. Just make sure you let Miss Mo know what you want to talk about. The thing is, she posted something that said being super fat is the same as being, or being super skinny is the same as being super fat. So she was basically going against what the show was about, trying to say, well, you guys are talking about people who are fat, and that's fine, but what you need to be talking about is people who are super skinny too, because they have the same health issues. And I hate to say it, but darling, you're wrong. One, you're wrong because they do not have the same health issues. Anorexia is not the number one killer of black people. So to say that is stupid. But number two, to say that is deflectionary. What you're trying to do is deflect the issue. And I refuse to allow people to deflect the issue. Now, when she posted this in my group, no one else spoke about it except this one guy, and apparently it was her friend. And he wrote some poem talking about, he loves you just the way you are. And ladies, I'm telling y'all to call bullshit when you see it. These black men are full of shit. For all these men who tell you online that they love you the way you are, you fine the way you are, and blah, blah, blah. If this is the case, why isn't he with you? Why is it that the same guy that tells you that ain't trying to take your fat ass out in public? Why? Why? There's simple things. There are a lot of people I know who didn't get a chance to talk in the last show and didn't come up, and I haven't talked to my man in a minute, so I'm going to pick up Greg and Batman in just a second. So, guys, I'm going to get to you guys in a minute because I want to get your opinion on it. But when the woman put this up, old dude put that, yeah, you know, well, I love all women of all sizes just the way that God made them. First off, if you were born 8 pounds and 9 ounces, God didn't make you 400 pounds. You made you 400 pounds. Your parents, they overfed you. Then you continued it when you got on your own. You overfed you. Your parents didn't make you go outside and play. You continued not to go outside. Your parents like hog mogs and chitlins. You like hog mogs and chitlins. Yesterday I ate half a cheesecake, strawberry, chocolate sauce, and ice cream. I chose to eat that. Did I go run? Nope. I went to sleep. Slept like a big old bear. That's my fault. That's not somebody else's fault. So this nigga that's telling this girl, God made you that way. No, he didn't. You made you that way. Stop telling fat people that God made them that way. God didn't make them that way. God made them 8 pounds, 5 ounces, or 10 pounds, or whatever they were. He didn't make them 400 pounds. Am I wrong? And for this dude to say this, and one, if you look at dude, you see why he said it. He a lame. But after he said that, ladies, just ask the question. If a guy says he's like I say I like big titties. If I like big titties, if my girl had no titties, you'd say, well, I don't understand why he keeps saying he like big titties when he's not with a girl with big titties. It's like a man with a white wife telling you how much he loves black women. But it doesn't make any sense. But instead, black women, in my opinion, some of them are too stupid to pay attention to what's going on. They like hearing things because when they hear things, they can always say that somebody lied to them, that they were duped, that they were fooled. You're not fooled if you take a look at what somebody's doing. You're not fooled if you take a look at what somebody's saying and what they're doing. Stop listening to people. Watch them. A dude can tell you he ain't gay. Watch him. A dude can tell you he don't cheat. Watch him. I don't trust nothing nobody say. Half the shit I say to y'all, I don't trust it. I get off the air and be like, I was lying my ass off. But they don't know. I don't trust nothing nobody's just going outright just going to say, and now I'm just supposed to all of a sudden just trust it. This is a bad business if this is what you're doing. But I think it makes it easier because if a lady looks at what somebody's doing and then judges them and it doesn't work, she doesn't get sympathy. See, if you look at what a man's doing and people say, well, you knew he kept going to Bulldogs, how are you going to turn around and say he told you he wasn't gay? That's why if you notice, whenever a woman is caught, quote-unquote, her man ain't no good, she always say, I never saw that behavior. Because people around her will say, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, seems like you would have noticed this. Oh, no, I never saw that. You never saw him with that dick in his mouth. You didn't see that at all. Nope, I didn't see that. Okay, then. Again, people, you're not fat because God made you that way. You fat because you made you that way. Maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong for telling fat people that they ain't fat because God made them that way? They fat because they made themselves that way. Let me bring in my man Batman. What's going on, bud?
What's going on, player? How y'all been?
Been pretty good. Where you been at, man?
Bro, man, I've been up to dodging, ducking, hiding, running, playing, everything, man. Working, hustling, it don't stop. Whatever gonna make it happen.
I feel you on that. Sound a little bit like what I've been doing. Now, I know you missed out on the show about when we were talking about obese people and fat people and whatever they want to call themselves. But I hear a lot of people saying that these people are this way because God made them that way. And I just said, no, God didn't make them that way. Am I wrong for saying that?
Man, yeah, you're wrong, but you're right. You know, so it goes back to saying, yeah, you're wrong, because a lot of people can't accept it or don't want to admit that their habits that they choose to take in on a day-to-day basis, whatever it may be, whether it be the food, whether it be that exercise, not exercising, maybe it's just, they just have an unhealthy habit, so whatever it is. That need to fulfill it, if you know it's constantly putting weight on you, that means you can't live without it. So it's addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wrong, because if that's their addiction, it's not against the law to have that addiction. So to them, a lot of people I see is overweight. It's like, well, I eat because I don't want to. It satisfies their appetite to do something else, to take
Well,
chance.
See, I never told them that. But I never told him it was against the law. I just said that God didn't do that to you.
Yeah.
You did that to you. I mean, you can keep doing it. I'm not even telling you it's wrong.
But yep. but here's the funny thing, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong. When people think that what they're doing is right, they don't have to explain it. Have you noticed that when people doing shit that they think is right, they don't go around trying to explain it?
Yeah. That's very true. You don't have to explain stuff that's considered to be the right way of things, the better way things in America. That's the thing we talk. First of all, you're talking about American culture that's raised on having everything in excess. It's raised on when you go down to eat. Oh, do you want seconds? You know, some people like seconds. We don't even know what seconds it is. You know, third and fourth. You know, some of us eating three or four plates, you know, because our families are in positions to continue to feed you. But a lot of people on the other end who are like, you know, we got 15 people in our home. So if you don't get it the first time around, you may not eat.
True.
And I have a problem with the thing with obesity is when I see that you are afraid to push away from the plate, to walk away from the plate, that you feel like if you don't continue to feel that way or fulfill yourself in that manner, that it's going to affect you, that you're going to have or that you're not going to be you. You feel like, it's almost like they feel that's their defense mechanism is to continue to eat. Like, so what if I'm big? I'm going to keep on eating, and if you say something about me, I'm going to talk about you because that's how I am. And it's the attitude that comes along with it. That's the issue I have with that attitude.
I feel you. It's like they're thumbing their nose at you, like you doing something wrong by pointing out to them that this might not be the best way to do it.
But no, it's the issue is that somebody else is still going to have to weigh the burden for it no matter what we do. You know, if you continuously eat, that means what? Somebody's going to have to bear the burden of what? Oh, we got to produce more food because we got all these people that's obese, so they want to eat. They can't live without having, you know, bacon, eggs, you know, pancakes. Eggs, grits every morning and having lunches and all this type. They can't live without all of those things every day. So what happens, we have an economy that has to produce more food and do more things. We have to go along. It affects people all the way. And if they are unhealthy with it and don't actually take in stuff that in our culture that they know that's going to help them live a trim, better healthier life, the doctors have to. There's more money that goes into the medical system.
Exactly.
More than coming out of our taxes to make sure that somebody who was, when they was 30, knew, okay, I'm 30 years old. I'm turning 30 now. I've been in this world long enough to say, okay, I know my habits. I know how my body reacts to certain things. I know what's good for me. I know if I go out here and I eat all day long, I'm going to gain 10 pounds that next day when I step on the scale. You know, because some of us are like that. I know I can look on the scale one day, and I'll be 5 pounds, 6 pounds heavier than I was the day before. But then I go outside. But I'm the person who will go out there and run for, you know, 2-3 hours straight and then lose that 7 pounds the next day. That person, the other person, is not going to go lose that weight. They're going to just keep on eating. They're going to like, well, I got 7 today. I'm going to get another 7 tomorrow, get another 7. And it's like they don't take into consideration of trying to get rid of it. They feel like, well, when it's time for the weight to go away, it has to go away. I'm like, no, you got to go out here and try to get rid of that weight. You can't go. That's like if you're a dope dealer. Excuse my, you know, example. If you got weight, you're not going to just keep, then somebody keeps selling you dope if you ain't out there trying to get rid of it. You know?
Yeah.
You got to try to get rid of something once you're accumulating too much of something. It's a natural process. If you're not doing it through nature, if you're not naturally having the proper bowel movements, if your body is not, you got so much water solubles and you holding so much water, then if you know, like if you hold too much water, you need to go to find a way to, with that, the flax oil and all the type of stuff that you can take to help flush you out, make you go to the bathroom. It's all types of things that if you're not naturally doing it.
Well, see, that's what I was saying to the young lady when she posted that, you know, super skinny people have issues just like super fat people. I said, one, here's the biggest reason why you don't have no business posting that, because you're super fat. So if you're super fat, you shouldn't care what's going on with super skinny people, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of the problem that we have in our community is that instead of dealing with our issues, we'll point out that somebody else has those same issues. Have you ever seen this in your life or seen with fat people how they'll point out your flaw in order for you to get off of them? And like I told her, I said, look, there are no people who are just dying by the thousands of anorexia. Anorexia is not a problem in the black community, so why would you bring that up?
I mean, it's just a simple fact that if your heart, if I tell someone like this, your heart is a muscle, and it has to work so hard to keep you operational. When you sleep, even when you sleep, your heart is working. You know, all the time your heart is constantly, that muscle is working for you. If you potentially strain it in a fashion that it's not used to, you know if it got to pump blood twice as hard because it's harder to move you when you was 25 than when you 35 because you didn't gain 70 pounds. You don't know how long your muscle is going to be able to work at that strength because, say, for the first 25 of your years of your life, you didn't have to work that hard to move anything out of that. You didn't. It was natural. Everything natural. So it's one of the things that we don't think about, though, the work that we're our body's doing. We just take it as, oh, I can go to the doctor. They got a pill for this.
There you go.
Pill, oh, I'm going to be straight. If I take this pill, oh, I'm going to be fine here. Everybody thinks it's just because I can run to the doctor. If you got money, the doctor can save. But I'm like, why would you want to, why are we relying on putting ourselves in a situation where we know a certain thing is going to be unhealthy? It's like, if I have a drinking problem, if I know I'm not going to be able to go to the bar and just have one drink, and once I have one drink, it's going to turn into 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 drinks, but it's killing my lining and in my stomach, you know, like I'm having extra blood from it. Then that means I need to know that I need not drink, you know? But in society, the person who has that drinking problem is looked down upon versus the person who happens to eating disorder. That person is not frowned upon. I'm like, how you gonna? I'm like, both of them is a health effect in the long run, you know? Some people, they talk about what someone, I heard somebody say the other day, well, it's a mind-altering thing. Also, it changes who you are. I said, well, some people, if they don't eat, they angry. They upset with you. They have an attitude if they don't get what they want, if they don't have the food they want. To me, that's a mental problem also. But we don't want to be realistic about it. It's just what the media has deemed already negative. So it's like once the media deems something negative, then that's what we attach ourselves to. It's like whatever the media deems, if the media was to come out and start just making all these statistics, like really like making, just showing people just dying from being fat. You know, everybody who was fat, it just made it look just horrible to be a fat person in the world. Like, it was no joy of being fat. That if you was fat, you was broke, your wife was going to leave. If you was to put the same stigma on that as you would do to somebody who would be an alcoholic, I guarantee you, you would see that change. But the thing about it, you always see that they always try to show a person that's heavier person. Oh, that's the big caring person. They're always nice to everybody. You
Thank
know,
you.
Everybody can come to their house. And you think to yourself, man, dude, this person is slowly, you know, making themselves incapable of being a helpful person because they're relying on signs for somebody else to come and save them.
Yeah, they're being a burden. They're being a burden on society and their family. A woman called in last show. She talked about her own mom, and she said that her mom had gotten so big and had gotten diabetes, they had to remove her legs, and now her and her husband have to take care of her.
No, it's, I mean, I don't know how many people who I have dealt with that's been overweight. Can you help me carry this up the steps? I need you to help me do this. I need you to help me do that. You know, as simple as, you know, if you ever know it's a heavy person, if they sitting in the house, they'll ask you to go get them something out of the refrigerator.
Yep.
They'll ask you. They'll be like, can you go get me that ice cream that's up in the top top shelf, whatever it is. They're going to ask you to go do it. You very rarely see a slender person ask you to go get them some food. A slender person to go get something to eat when they want to. You know? That's what
hell,
I mean.
It's just like my aunt. My aunt will ask me to go buy her some alcohol. And my thing is, if I do it, I'm contributing to it. And like you just said, if a fat person say, go to the refrigerator and get me something, they too lazy to go and get something because they too big.
Yep.
But then they want you to feel bad for them by saying things like, well, not all fat people are fat because they're lazy. Yeah, but you're fat because you're lazy. Let's not talk about the people who are fat not because they're lazy, because they got a thyroid problem or whatever. And there are plenty of people who have thyroid problems who make sure that they know what they're eating. And that's one of the biggest issues that I have, Batman, is that we do exactly what you just said. We make it look horrible if a nigga on crack. We make it look horrible. If the things that we make look cool, they end up being cool. Like, even with alcoholics, the reason there will continuously be a large amount of alcoholics, because we got too many Budweiser commercials.
Yep. Yeah. But it's still funny that you still have certain people who, when you look at it, it's like, I don't like to use, like, I guess celebrities is the easiest people to use an example of, but you look at someone who, like Michael Irvin, who can honestly admit that, oh, I was doing drugs hardcore. But you don't see that in the ramifications in his life. And he'll still, and even if you can tell his attitude, he's still a wild, wild person. You still know why he's still going to get out there and have a good time and be in the streets and do what he got to do. But what happens is once you're successful in life and the money's rolling over and everybody's starting to see the money come through and, you know, people catching checks here and catching checks there, it's no longer anything negative about what you're doing in your life. Everything is just about you having money. And I think that's what satisfies a lot of people that's heavier weight is the fact that as long as there's some substantial to say, they have some financial, they don't care about what the issues or what other people think. But I'm like, you're hoping that science and that modern medicine is going to resolve a problem that you condition yourself to be part of. You know, that's what everybody.
Yeah, but you're not seeing very many successful fat people. They're trying to force it in your face. They're trying to do like, oh, gay people, I get them. Gay people start to get enough money to where they can force being gay in your face.
Yep.
Tell everybody to produce something is gay. I get that. Seriously, it's the same thing with Jews. Jews got to the point where they could force the Holocaust down your throat. Blacks know more about the Holocaust than they do know about slavery. Ain't that something? But anyway, but I get it. But what fat people are doing is fat people want you to feel sorry for them. Fat people want the rest of the world to feel sorry for them as if they're handicapped. Like, okay, we feel sorry for a person that's handicapped. Somebody was born with cerebral palsy. We feel sorry for them, but why do we feel sorry for fat people? Because they did that to themselves.
Yeah. I mean, it's even like that. Like I say, I'm a slender type person, you know what I'm saying? If you just look at me without a shirt on, if you just see me with clothes on, you're like, this motherfucker's skinny as hell. You know, I'm cut, you know. Mm-hmm. But I had to deal with that whole problem. Before then, oh, you need some more food. I'm like, no, I don't. My body knows I'm an average weight. I'm an average weight person. They just my weight is distributed right the way it's supposed to be. I'm built for who I built my body to be. But you'll have a heavy person. Oh, you need some food. Oh, you. I'm like, I'm really don't need nothing. I'm like, honestly, my weight is perfectly where it's at.
But if you tell them they don't need no food, you just became rude.
There you go. But see, in their mind, it's like you're thinking that you need to eat something all the time, and that's because they're thinking that, and especially in America, the bigger you are, it means it's a sight of how successful you are. The more weight that you're holding on you is a stature of how well you're eating, and you're telling somebody else, nah, your weight is how you're holding your weight is how regular are you to the bathroom? How regular do you get rid of the stuff you replace what you need and keep what's in you, what you don't need at that moment? Like, if I don't need a whole bunch of bread and stuff at that time, in a certain time of the year, and when it's cold because I know I'm be sitting inside a lot, then I know I don't need to be eating a lot of starches and a lot of food like that. That's just going to sit on me, you know, for 4, 5, 6 hours and not being processed through my body. I don't need something that's going to sit on me and not be processed in an hour. You know, if it's not going to be processed in an hour in my body, I don't need to digest it, you know, and that's what we deal with, you know. But like I say, I take the proactive approach is that I'm going to go out and be active with it. If I know I went out and ate, you know, 4,000 calories that day and I only needed 2,500, I know I need to go burn 1,500 calories some kind of way that day. You know, I don't care if I'm running up and down the steps all day long, running up and down the steps. If I know that's what I took in, if I took in them 4,000 calories, you know, I'm going to go up there to I'll run over to France, we run up the Eiffel Tower, you know, up and down to burn out some calories. That's, we don't have that mentality. We always just want to. Like I say, we have so much belief that, they got liposuction. So once I find a man who loves me for the way I am, I'm just going to go get liposuction. And then I'm going to have
to body. And that's
out.
Another thing that bothers me is when them women say, or because guys don't say that. When women talk about how much they love themselves, you know, they'll say they love themselves and they'll get mad that some guy don't love them the way that they feel that a guy should love them. And I'll think to myself, well, you can't love yourself because if you did, you would take care of your own body. So you can't get mad at somebody else for not treating you right when you can't treat yourself right. Am I wrong?
That's true. How many of us really can say that if we don't have, just like this, how many of us in reality would say, if you don't have a job that says you need to hit this clock at this time and leave at this certain time, develop a healthy schedule, which is knowing where you're going to eat, knowing where you're going to go be at. Your schedule is so detailed to where the various in it that somebody who ain't seen you in 3, 4 years still know where you're going to be at 5, 6 years later. You know, it's like we don't set a routine, a healthy routine in our life. You know, we don't set a healthy routine unless somebody is is well, with a whip and chain, telling us what we can and can't do. We don't, and I feel that until we get out here and say, well, at 7 o'clock in the morning, this is what I'm gonna eat, no matter what, and I'm not gonna change from this, no matter what. No matter what you're trying to sell me or tell me what's healthy, I'm gonna make sure this when I tuck this in my life, it's gonna provide a healthier state for me. We're scared of that. We're scared of that schedule. We fear it.
Like, here's a message I just got from somebody, this young lady named Nina Davis. She told me that I was wrong for saying this because she says, I'm discouraging confidence. This is why the world just has a big problem with black people. Black people and fat people. And especially you get a black fat woman, man, you won't get no logic or common sense. This woman sat up here and literally said, I'm discouraging confidence if I tell a fat person who says God made me this way that no, God didn't. She didn't say that I'm being honest and I'm telling the truth. She said I'm discouraging their confidence. So, again, it goes back to what I was saying. We want to give people confidence in dumb shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Would you give me confidence if I was molesting kids? And if I said God made me this way, would you say, yeah, you're right. We don't want to discourage him.
We're not taking the time in our we are just not taking the time in our lives to say, you know, what do we prioritize and what do we put first?
And
once you decide what you're gonna put first, and that schedule is like, how long can you live by that schedule? You know, a lot of people don't want to do it, and I mean that's the only argument that I have with anybody is, how long can you be consistent at developing your own routine, developing the things in your, not somebody else telling you, because somebody else telling you what's good for your body and what you need don't mean you're going to like it. So that's the first problem when somebody's telling you, oh, you need to do this, or you need to be here, or you need to this. First of all, they ain't you. They don't know if you're going to like it. So the routine that they're giving you is not going to be fulfilling because you yourself don't. And not making the rules. We're not making our own rules, finding out what works for us, and keeping that effort up until we say, okay, this is routine. I followed for the last 2-3 years for myself. And when you can build that routine and you have that routine together, then you can fulfill a healthy life regardless of what else is around you because you have set the standard and you have set the measure of your own self, not someone else. And that's the breakdown of it. Everybody's waiting for somebody to come out with a men's health magazine. Oh, if I do this and I eat this, like the way they tell you, nigga, that's them telling you how it worked for them. They didn't come out the womb the same time as you, but yet you willing to listen to them tell you how your body should, how you're supposed to reach.
Well,
your
the thing
body.
Is, we got to get to a point, and I want to bring you back in just a second, Batman. I wonder why, but we got to get to a point, people, where we care enough about ourselves that either nothing someone says about us bothers us or everything someone says about us bothers us. We can't have it both ways. We got too many people who they want you to say nice stuff about them. All while they're not happy with themselves. Greg, I'm going to get to you when we get back from the break. We got to go to a break, our normal 8:30 break, but I'm going to get to you when we get from that break. Ladies and gentlemen, the number is 347-989-8310. I'll talk to you guys a little bit about this, and plus I got some stories I want to tell you from the news, some kind of funny stories, some kind of not-so-funny stories, and I want to get more into I had a discussion about a biracial issue, so I'm wanting to ask you guys a little bit about that, too. What should we call mixed people? They mixed. Why are they always considered black? That's one of the questions I'm going to ask you. So we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back in just a second. I look forward to speaking with you more on this show. This is Your World.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on internet radio, with your host, Tommy Sotomayor. Keep it.
I need cash now. Call J.P. Wentworth, 877-CASH-NOW. they will tend to you. If you get long-term payments but you need cash now,
call J.D. Wentworth,
877-CASH-NOW.
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 It's your money. Use it when you need it. Call J.D. Wentworth.
I'm a filthy rich executive. I hear the market's down 1,000,000 points. I freak out. I spill my large espresso. The searing pain makes me slam on the brakes. Uh-oh, your fault.
And your 15-minute insurance may not cover my $90,000 car, so I sue you because that's what I do. So get Allstate. Save money and be better protected from mayhem like me.
Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you from mayhem like Allstate.
After working here for a few years, I knew it was time to move on. But I wasn't the only one trying to start their career, and everyone else was way more qualified. When I finally found a job I could get, I was pretty much back where I started. Then I saw a commercial for Westwood College and decided to give them a call. At Westwood, I got my bachelor's degree in just 3 years. I got career training in the classroom, and they helped me build my resume. So when I graduated, I had everything I needed to finally start my career.
Start your career with a bachelor's degree from Westwood College. Graduate in just 3 years with the tools you'll need to start a career in design, justice, technology, healthcare, or business, including construction management. Call now for your free career success kit and learn about the careers and salaries that could be yours with a Westwood College degree. Online classes are available.
And now, back to the man who loves all of his fans, except the ones playing hard to get, your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Your World, My Views. And, of course, you can always catch us here at www.yourworldmyviews.com. And you can always catch us by calling in at 347-989-8310. That's every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday from 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And a little programming note. Thursday's show is going to be about education. So for all of you drama field people who are looking for a drama field show, you're not going to get it this week. Sorry. So I'm pretty sure you're going to find something else to watch or something else to do, because I'm not calling bitches bitches and hoes hoes and saying nothing about black women to make you mad or fat people to make you mad. I'm actually trying to educate you, and that's something you can't argue about, but it's something you won't pay attention to. So I understand that, but that's not my job to get. Well, it's not always my job to get ratings. I believe it's my job to teach as many of you as I can, because I want people to understand. And I don't want you to walk into the fight like I was sent out into the fight. Some of us, a lot of us, are sent out into the world, and we're not given the proper tools to survive. It is a fight. It is a fight to the death, and you will die. So one day that's going to happen. But you can fight to live longer. And one of the things about obesity that people don't seem to understand is this. I believe probably everybody's heart's given a certain amount of beats, like Beats by Dre. But it's given a certain amount of beats. And if it's given a certain amount of beats, kind of like a woman, her body's given a certain amount of eggs. Not every woman's given the same amount of eggs. Not every woman discharges them at the same time. A lot of them can't get them fertilized at the same time. Same thing with your heart. I assume if you believe in God, that God gives your heart a certain amount of beats. The rest is your choice. If you want to double up the amount of beats your heart gets, put on weight. Go ahead. So now your heart is beating twice as much as it would have beaten. So if it's beating twice as much as it would have beaten, that means you're living your life probably half of what you would have. If you can think of it in terms like that. The same thing what cocaine does. Cocaine speeds up your heart, makes it beat a lot faster. Most people who get on cocaine die
a lot faster. I didn't make up the rules. They just do. And again, I didn't say the skinny people don't have problems. Never said that. It sounds like I heard Ms. Moore in the background.
Yes, I am here.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Do you get the point? You know, if you say no, I'm gonna cuss you out. But but seriously, do you get the point? In when I said fat people can't say that God made them that way, because God didn't make them that way. God made you 5 pounds, 7 ounces, or whatever you were. That's what He made you. You did the rest.
Exactly, I get the point. And also, I want to add this. Even you brought up something earlier about, you know, your parents had you fat or whatever, and then you went on into that. Well, it's kind of like when some of us grew up and we didn't have, say, dental care or anything like that. So we had these messed up teeth. You're running around, now we're 35 or whatever, and you have these braces on your teeth. Well, same thing. If you, however you ate the hog maws, whatever, when you were growing up, you're older, you know better, even if your parents didn't help you to where you weren't overweight. You're an adult, you're responsible, you know your knees hurt, your back hurt, all that. You know you're overweight. You can work on it just like when you go to the dentist when you become an adult. The same thing.
And why do you think, and I know what I'm thinking, but why do you think so many people took offense to the issue of obesity and me talking about it? And like I said that the woman was out of line for discussing skinny people when she's fat. You don't need to worry about what's going wrong with skinny people if you're fat, right?
Right. I agree. Well, a lot of people took offense to it because they like being lazy. It's a lot easier for me to be lazy and you not point it out. How dare you start pointing it out? Because I know I'm lazy.
Right.
That's one of the biggest issues that we have. We are lazy and we are in denial, or you think other people are stupid. We can see you fat. You sitting over there if you want to, and I don't even see how you can be in denial. You're huge.
But why do we think, why do we go around trying to make them feel good about being fat, though? Again, this guy sat there and wrote that dumbass poem talking about take a woman, you know, the way that God made them. And number one, God didn't make you like that. Number two, you don't even believe that. Because when I asked him to do one thing, nobody has been able to do it. I said, can you name me any man of means that can have any woman he wants that chose a fat one? No one can name one.
I can't. I'm not even going to try and dig that out, because that's covered wherever it is.
Yeah, and then the whole thing is, if you can dig one out, that ought to let you know how hard it is that you had to dig it out.
Exactly.
It's like if your wife said, when was the last time you took me to dinner? If your ass got to remember back in 2006, you probably should get up, get dressed, and take her to dinner right then.
Right.
We got people who will sit there and can literally remember the last time they did it and think that was enough. The reason the person is asking you is because you haven't done it. They're not really asking you to literally point something out. I'm not even asking you to literally point out that you can find one.
Right.
I'm asking you to realize how difficult it is.
Exactly.
And that nobody's running around. And the girl, and I know she was a person who used to call the show, and I know she won't call the show, probably in the group no more, and I hope her and that dude ain't either, because I don't like liars.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, because I'm a liar, but what I don't like is, I don't like people that lie to people in blatantly to their face in order to get something from them. So I guess the correct word is user. I don't like users. You can lie to get some pussy. You dumb enough if you fuck me. That's on you. But if I'm sitting up here telling you something like you fine and you whatever, and I'm just keeping you in the dark, knowing that I won't take you out to dinner, I won't even take you in front of my friends, I won't do nothing, but I'm going to tell you that you fine, that's not right. And I don't know if I'm more mad at him for saying it or her for believing it. Because she know, and she told me, I don't know who you've been around, but I don't get treated bad. I'm like, bitch, I sit here and watch nobody will even pay you attention on Facebook. So I know ain't nobody paying you attention in real life.
You would be, to me, I would be more angry at her. He's a
liar. Yeah, because she know better.
And he's a liar and she's grown. So come on now. Grown and fat.
Yeah.
You know if you're fat, come on.
And you know how people been treating you for years, so you can tell me that you don't have no problem getting a man all you want to. But when I see niggas say lame shit and you talking about thank you to him when he didn't even write you the poem,
The poem don't have your name in there at all. You talking about thank you.
Mm.
You desperate for a compliment. That's why a man can easily sleep with a fat woman. Because you ain't got to say nothing but a couple of nice things to this woman. And she's like, oh, God, this is great.
Yeah.
I've never heard this before. You've got such a pretty face. I guess I do that laugh at the end. That's just me. But, oh, I read that story. I heard that story you were talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Your World, My Views. We're going to talk about a little news. I'm going to bring in my man Greg in a second. But, Ms. Moe, I heard more about that story. I was driving last night. I think it was last night going to get cheesecake, or maybe it was the night after. But anyway, whenever I went to get the cheesecake,
uh-huh.
I was listening to the radio. And on the radio they said not only because you had told me about this man who had killed this woman and tied her kids up,
mm-hmm.
and basically so they wouldn't see him kill her. So he at least spared them the sight
mm-hmm.
of seeing their mama killed. He basically let them know, I'm about to do this here to your mama, but I don't want y'all to have nightmares, so I'm going to tie y'all up, put y'all in this other room while I do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when he did it, he took one of the kids with him.
Uh-huh.
And that's the one they caught him with, right? You knew that, right?
Yes.
That's the one they say he tried
to. He picked one up from school.
Yeah, that's the one they say he tried to sexually,
mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Whatever
molest.
You want to call it.
Yeah, whatever
assault,
word you want to use.
Molest, whichever. Mm-hmm.
But do you know what the condition they found the two that was tied up?
No.
He had pissed on them.
Oh, no. No. Mm-mm, I didn't know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, first off, you really, especially ladies, watch who you dating. These niggas mm-hmm. is tying up kids and peeing on them and stabbing you.
Yes, and they are serious.
And he ain't just stabbing you like they did on, like they did Anthony Anderson on that damn Scream your son had me watching. The
wow.
dumbest movie possible. But they just slice it. I mean, he's stabbing multiple times. He's stabbing you till he get tired. You dead.
Yeah.
He still ain't tired, so he's still stabbing.
Mm.
You done peed on the kids? Well, what would that be? I'm gonna let you put your psychologist hat on. What do you think would make a grown man piss on some kids and stab a woman? That sounds like he really pissed at her and them, right? To pee on somebody
yes.
is one of the most disrespect. Like you said, you hate for somebody to spit in your face.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to jail. I am going to jail. I'm telling you now. That's the worst ever.
So, wait a minute. Pissing in my face ain't worse than spitting in it?
I'm just saying, you said what I said.
No, I'm
that
saying that's your
you
thing.
Spit.
I'm just saying,
yes.
if your thing is pissing in your face, it will make you shoot a nigga, but you going to jail. You know, I mean, you
yes.
don't, you don't spit in my face, it's over.
I don't want
so
to think about
So how far over
somebody.
It would be for somebody to urine in your face?
They the same. They pretty much the same. I'm still going to jail. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah, now, you're right.
That's what you decided to do to them kids.
Yes.
You took their mother and you peed on them.
Yeah, you basically letting them know how pissed you are at them. Like, I guess maybe they were bad. Maybe they wouldn't go to bed when he wanted to. I don't know. But when you don't sit up here and kill their mama, piss on two of them, but then take one of them with you. So I guess you like that one, or you're just nasty as hell.
Well, combination.
Yeah, it's a little bit of two. You like that one. That one was nice to you. So you're going to do something to that one before you go to jail.
Yeah.
These news stories, I'm telling you, there's a lot of nutty shit going on in the news. Your boy Nicolas Cage said somebody was up in his house, a naked man with a fudge sickle just standing at the end of his bed.
No.
You didn't hear about that?
No.
Yes, Nicolas Cage said it was a man with a fudge sickle. Now, it sounded like some gay shit, to be honest, just to say this fudge sickle. You didn't have to say it was a fudge sickle. Nicolas Cage, he's trying to be cute, I guess, but you didn't have to say it. Like, you know what that's implying. Tell me, is that not what it's implying? If you say, if I tell you it was a nigga was at the end of my bed when I woke up with a fudge sickle.
How about he had some ice cream? It seemed like it was ice cream. You just got to bring that up.
Why you had to say it was a fudge sickle? You know what that is.
You know what that is? Oh.
And this nigga sitting there with that fudge sugar, he probably didn't say nothing. He probably just said, you know what time it is. And you know what time it is if he's standing there.
Yes. He didn't even have to have a fudge sugar. He's standing there. You next.
You know what I'm saying? Even if he didn't have no fudge sugar, he going to leave with one.
Yes. Wow.
And then your girl, Scarlett Johansson. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you. If you got some pictures in your phone naked, you want somebody else to see them. Period.
Yes.
I know these cameras should have never been put on phones. It should have never been that easy for a nigga to photograph himself. Seriously. It used to be hard for a nigga to photograph himself. You had to take pictures and then take that shit to Wolf Camera, or finally Walmart had a photo center in it. But you had to take it to one of these places. It was too much trouble.
Right.
Then a nigga got a Polaroid. That made it a little bit easier, but then you had to sit there and shake it, and the quality wasn't that good. But it still made it a little bit easier, and it was still kind of expensive to get a Polaroid and go get the piece if you were hood like me. Now they done made it to where the cell phone that you bought has a camera on it. And I remember when it first did that. Of course, the first thing you're going to take, because people don't understand, the first moving pictures was a porno.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you're going to want to film or draw is somebody naked doing something. That's just human nature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a person who ain't sent a picture of their titties or their pussy or some or their dick to somebody. It's just it's too easy, too fun. I'm going to turn them out. I'm going to get them hot if I send them this.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Then they keep saying, you got some more? You got some more? Can you send me another one? I ain't never sent nobody one picture of my dick and they were satisfied. Greedy fucker.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
How many damn angles of a damn pair of titties can you see? After a while, the shit is old.
How many can you send?
I don't know. Why? But I've tested the limits of some people.
I know.
You got another one? You got another one. Nigga, I done sent you 2,000.
Send one more.
You know what I'm saying? Just to see if you do it. But Scarlett Johansson, naked pictures, don't hit the web. And I seen them. The bitch is fine.
I'm going to say that
to your face. She fine. I don't care what nobody tell you. She fine. I said, damn, I see why the president like her being his, because she was like the president's biggest fan or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, it took all my presidential powers not to hit that ass. I'd have told my wife, look, I've been faithful a long time. You got this fucked up mouth and them close eyes.
Stop it.
Scaring me sometimes. I wake up in the morning and look over at you. You talking about good morning. Oh, Lord, I done went to bed with a piranha. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just you, baby. I'm sorry. Scared me for a minute. But I bet if Michelle got them nice hips while hitting from behind, it'd be a pleasure. But still, from on top of her looking her in her face, it just be something that just, it take a strong man. You could only be the president after that.
Wow. Nowhere to go but up.
You can only be the president after fucking a woman like that and still being able to eat your cereal and keep it down in the morning. Look at the first George Bush. His damn wife looked like his grandma. You got to be the president.
Mm-mm-mm. You are wrong.
Lyndon Johnson, wrong. Lady Bird Johnson looked like that dog. You gotta be the president. This nigga can't be nothing else.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's a strong man.
This all you. I'm not doing it. It's
I'm
all
just
you.
Saying, he's a strong man. But Scarlett Johansson pictures got out there. They look nice, but she trying to sue to get them back because they was in her phone. Now, people, again, why are you, Scarlett Johansson, taking pictures of yourself in your phone? Who were they for?
I don't know.
This is weird. You don't find that a bit weird that this woman who is Scarlett Johansson, who's supposed to be like one of the sexiest women in the world, model, actress, blah, 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 just got this motherfucking BlackBerry and just could not stick to typing stuff. Man, I got to take a picture. I got to see the camera work. Oh, it works. I wonder what it looked like with my clothes off. You know what your body looked like. Who are you taking the pictures for?
I'm just going to say this. Maybe the phone was new. Because last night, I got that new touchscreen BlackBerry. It's off the chain. And I don't know how to work it. And last night I was in the bed and I turned on the video camera just to try to see if it would work.
Did you videotape yourself naked?
If I had enough time, I may have.
Well, then that means that's what you wanted to do. That has nothing to do with it. That doesn't have nothing to do with a new phone. You just like videotaping yourself.
I'm telling you why that was in her camera, in her phone.
No, I'm saying why do you do it if you this person? If your shit get on the web, ain't nobody going to really give a shit.
They might. Don't be mean.
I'm just saying nobody don't care. It ain't like you're going to lose a job. Yeah, you know, ain't nobody going to hire you to be in the next Tyler Perry film. The next Tyler Perry film you be in will be the first one.
Don't make a joke at my expense, sir. Don't
I'm just saying. It's just like with me. If a motherfucker sees a picture of my dick, could float all around the web. Wouldn't nobody give a shit.
I'm just telling you why she has the pictures in her phone. But see, the
okay, but you got
to
purposely. You
got to
purposely.
I deleted mine. I don't know why
you,
it's still in her phone.
I'm saying you have to purposely tape yourself naked.
Exactly.
You do this on purpose.
Exactly.
So it has nothing to do with I have a new phone. You can have a new phone and tape your walls.
But that's
you
the
don't
only
have
time
to tape yourself
I've
naked.
Used the video thing on this new phone.
But you don't
but
have
I
to. You tape. But what does that have to do with doing taping yourself naked? That doesn't make any sense. What you're saying doesn't make any sense. You're saying because I got a new phone, I accidentally end up naked on the phone? That doesn't make any sense.
She didn't accidentally. Nobody's saying it's an accident.
Well, that's
the
what I'm saying. So what you're saying
is
doesn't make any sense. The two don't parallel. Just because it's a new phone doesn't mean I end up naked in it.
I'm just seeing how this thing works and how I look on it, okay? And I didn't delete the picture.
So you didn't want to see how you look with your clothes on. That's what I'm saying. You're not making any sense. You're saying because the phone's new and because you want to see how
you
look, you got to take your clothes off?
You said that woman is fine. And I'm sure she knows she's fine and she wanted to see it in her phone. Okay?
Why would she want to see that she's fine in her phone but don't want nobody else to see it? That doesn't make any sense.
That's a lie. She wanted somebody else to see it.
That's what I'm driving at. You don't put shit like that in your phone if you don't want nobody else to see it. That's a fucking lie.
Okay, all right. Well, we in agreement upon that.
And for her to come out talking about she didn't want nobody to see it, it's a fucking lie. She wanted somebody to see this shit. This is a publicity stunt. I haven't heard nothing about Scarlett Johansson in a while. What movie has she been in?
Oh, I don't know. Well, there you have it. Now she's out there.
You know you motherfucking fine. You don't just act, hey, ain't got no pictures of Barack Obama with his dick in his phone.
That's because they took his BlackBerry.
You don't just, I got used to, a motherfucker steal my phone. There's all kind of dick pictures in there. I just like take a picture of my dick. But I'm hoping that somebody find the phone.
Oh.
I'm hoping it hit the web.
Well, if your name not going across it, it ain't going to matter.
That's what I'm saying. I had a hard time getting my dick and my face in the picture at the same time. Damn it. Fucking phone is too little. Or either my dick is too little. One of the two.
I was going to say, is that what it is? Oh, okay.
It's just one of the two, but I had a hard time. I could get up to my neck. That was as far as I could get. I was like, shit. Maybe if I put my tattoo in the picture, they'll know it's me.
Oh, wow.
But this is a daggum shame that this grown-ass woman is taking pictures of herself sexy in the phone, talking about, I don't know how they got it. Yes, you do. You put that out there.
It's not the first time, and it won't be the last.
That they hacked into my phone. I'm sick of people talking about somebody hacking into your phone. They hacked my Twitter account and said, fuck them hoes. No, the only time you said they hacked them is when them hoes got mad. You love to claim somebody hacked into my shit. Brandy should have said they hacked into her car and made her kill them folks.
Oh, don't.
Oh. They hacked into my phone. They shut the fuck up. Somebody hacked in
your
phone.
You're wrong.
And stole my pictures. Now, they may do this, but then if you see all these other people, Mila Kunis, Kim Kardashian, anybody you can think of, everybody's phone done been hacked in. So why do you have anything in your phone? Niggas trying to pick up other men on Twitter. Why are you doing this?
Don't
tell nobody I'm me. What?
This is Tiger. This is Tiger. Don't
tell
anybody.
Announce it yourself. This is Terrence Howard, nigga.
Oh, no.
I'm going to kill you. Believe that. This nigga act like he was auditioning for Blue Streak 2.
Believe that.
Damn, Terrence Howard is a G.
Yeah.
And then call back and apologize. That is Terrence Howard again. How you come back?
Wow.
Hey, this is, he like he a regular nigga. This Terrence Howard again, man. I was tripping when I called you.
I don't know what came over me. My bad.
You know what I'm saying, man? You know how it is. You can't keep your wife. You can't keep it. This white girl is driving me crazy. You know these white girls like giving out pussy, and I don't know how to handle it. Did you hear about the Salahi woman, the people who crashed the White House party?
No.
This bitch, oh, my God, in the news, this bitch done left her husband on Sunday, I guess on Tuesday. Yeah, on Tuesday. He couldn't find her, so he called the FBI and wanted some help. Guess where they found the bitch?
Where?
With her ex-boyfriend. She told the police I needed a break and didn't want to tell him. Boy, you look a damn fool up here trying to look for somebody that's out getting some dick from elsewhere.
Oh.
That's why if my girl don't come home, I'd be damn. I'm going to wait at least 3 weeks before I call anybody. Nigga, why you didn't call nobody? This bitch ain't been home since October. It's December, nigga. I just thought maybe she just needed some ass, some dick, one of the two. She been dead for a month.
Well,
nigga, she told
know.
You she was going to McDonald's. I don't know where this bitch went. I just knew at any moment she was tired of me anyway. This ride could be over any day. I just thought that was the day. I said, embarrass myself and call. You got an Amber Alert for a grown ass person.
Ugh.
A grown ass person that's at the Hawks game with another nigga. See their name scroll across the billboard at Phillips Arena. Ain't that you? Ain't that you up there? Amber is an Amber Alert for. Oh, shit. She's here with another man. They just caught on the kids' cam.
You got to learn. You got to
learn. It is crazy. You done broke up in the damn White House, thought that shit was cute. And you got a girlfriend with multiple sclerosis.
Oh, stop it.
Ain't nothing wrong with multiple sclerosis except for multiple sclerosis. Other than that, ain't nothing wrong with it. But this is what she said, or what the author of her book said. The only reason she wasn't with the dude that she was with, that they found her with, was her actual dude she would have rather married. But she said because he's a rock star. He's like, I forgot what, the band Journey or some shit he's in. Old school rocker.
Okay, Journey, all right.
Yeah, so she wanted to be with him, but she couldn't be with him because she got MS. And, you know, he'd be on the road a lot, and she couldn't be on the road. And she said she thought old buddy, when she married him, would be a lame and just sit at home. And he had a nice big ranch and everything, and you know, that big vineyard they have. So she thought, well, we'd be okay, and I'll just stay here. And what happened was, well, you know, this fool been having her summer everywhere, too, so she ain't been able to rest either.
Oh, my.
So I think in her mind, she was like, well, I might as well get some good dick if I'm going to sit up here and run my multiple sclerosis to death.
Oh, she has MS, and that's what her concern is, cheating.
Well, it wasn't at first until, you know, this man got you doing all this dumb stuff. So then after a while, you say, well, screw it then. I'm going to go get some. And, you know, you probably get on the nerves and whatnot because he looked lame, got you doing stupid shit, Real House of whatever it is they be on, of OC.
Well, so what? She wants it. She
I know, but sick. I'm saying, you know, he know it and he keep, you know, okay, say if you were sick. What if I just kept on just pushing you to do other shit, knowing the shit was going to make you, but come on, just do this one more thing. And, you know, you're a kind of person that you like doing shit for somebody because they ask. Well, if I keep pushing you to do shit that you really ain't doing, especially when I just take your health out of the equation, because this is what he's doing by continuing to put her in these, let's be here, let's be there, let's try to be socialites. So once you do that, I guess in her mind, she says, well, I might as well stay with the rocker then.
Right.
At least I liked him. I was with you because I thought this was going to be a smooth ride.
Wow.
This shit is horrible. Anyway, that's what's going on in the news. Let me bring in my man, Greg, and then I'm going to bring in Jackson before we go to the break. I'm going to bring in Greg. What's up, Greg?
What's up, Tommy?
Nothing much, man. Hey, if you dating a woman with kids, don't kill them.
Listen here, man. I've already made up my mind. I'm not going to date any more with children Because the last girl, I had, you know, I got attached to the kid and the bitch went crazy. Then
what made her go crazy? What is your idea of crazy? Some people's idea of crazy be just a chick left them.
Okay. This bitch, she left me, but there's her reason for leaving me. She told me I was treating her so nice. These are her words, not mine. I was treating her so nice that I was treating her just like her, the father of her child. Then next thing you know, she ended up getting pregnant. Then, you know what I'm saying, he ended up leaving it. And, you know what I'm saying, and then basically I was going to do the same thing to her.
She said that you was going to do the same thing to her.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, I'll say this, though. I put out there about people letting people go if they, you know, if you ain't happy with somebody, let them go. I put that out there. And it's true. If you ain't happy with somebody, then let them go. Maybe she just wasn't happy with you and didn't know how to say it. I mean, here's what y'all have to understand. Sometimes people try to spare your feelings. And it's a good person, honestly, that tries to spare your feelings. That tell you, you know, it's not, what's the old line, Ms. Moore? It's not you, it's me?
Oh, yeah, it's not you, it's me.
The person trying to spare your feelings because they don't want to tell you it's not me, it's you.
Right.
Here's the thing, though.
It is you.
But here's the thing, though. I was able to. We started back talking, and then.
That's your bad.
Yeah, my bad. That's my fault. I should have left it alone, but didn't do it. So we started back talking, going back out and shit. So my ass asked her straight up, you know, so we get back together. She said, well, no, not right now. So what you were just talking about, that damn phone with them damn pictures in it. So you know what I'm saying? When I got with her, there was a couple of people who wanted me to ask them out or whatever. So as soon as they found out I was single, the motherfucker started sending me naked pictures. Like a dummy, I didn't erase them. She ended up finding them. Talking about, you cheating on me.
Yeah, but that's a control issue, and you allowing that. I had that in my last relationship. That chick didn't want me at all. But every time I finally got over her, she'd come back.
Yeah.
And it was so good, I just said, oh, fuck it. And then the next thing you know, when it was time for, when she didn't want to be in a relationship no more, she'd just find stuff. If a woman want to be with you, you can tell her these pictures is old, and she'll go about her business. She'll be mad, but she'll go about her business because she want to be with you. If you don't, what's going to happen is every little thing is going to bother somebody, and then they're going to keep leaving.
Yeah, that's true, though. I just made it, I said, fuck it. But the thing is, as we see, we're getting back on the subject of being fat and all this other stuff. So I want to put in my little input since I'm in the medical field.
Are you talking about the whole, which are you talking about? Were you talking about obesity, or you want to go ahead and get into the topic, which is the economy?
Both, actually. Because they actually both run neck and neck.
Yeah, well, I'm probably going to have to hold off on you on a little bit of it because we're getting close to a break. But so you can jump on something, but we're getting close to a break, and I'm going to come back from that break either with you and Jackson or my girl Nita. I don't know if Nita's going to come on, but I'm going to see if she's going to be here because she's supposed to be here at 9:15. But go ahead and talk about one, your part about being in the medical
field. Well, I want to talk about if the people want these, like, magical treatments and stuff. Yes, when it comes to modern medicine, does keep you alive, but it's not about living, it's about quality of life.
Yes.
You can be on dialysis and still be alive and shit. but are you living?
No, but that's what it is. A lot of people don't care. As long as they breathing, they all right. And that's what scares me. You just said it. Well, there are a lot of people who have seen their grandmama, granddaddy, or whatever. And they see them in these bad situations, and they'll still put themselves in bad situations.
That's what. Yeah.
Go ahead, nigga.
Yeah. What you doing? I'm coming off 285.
Oh, okay. You working. See, great working. I ain't mad at him. I'm going to bring him back in a minute because I know he's a lot that he want to talk about. And I want to get his idea. Greg is a hard worker, man. That's why I like Greg. Greg, hard worker. Mm-hmm. Ladies, if you like a hard worker, man, Greg work hard. Greg also joins the show. And if you work hard and you join the show, that makes me happy. And so what I want to do is I want to see if I don't know if she's made it. Yes, she has. So what we're going to do is we'll bring her in early. Well, I got 5 minutes. I'm wondering if we should take the break. No. No, I will bring in. Should I bring in Jackson? Well, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to you guys until a little bit of the break, and then we're going to go on because we're going to bring in Nita when I come back. But you know what? Let me let Jackson in. Fuck it. What's up, Jackson?
What's going on?
I'm up here deciding. I don't know when we're going to get to the break or what.
No problem, man. I hear you got some dilemmas going on.
Mm-hmm. You heard what I've been talking about. Where do you want to jump in on it? What is it that you want to jump in on? You have the floor. You have carte blanche.
I definitely think that, even the whole weight obesity thing, it's gotten to be pretty bad. I mean, I went out with my wife the other night. We went to a club. You know, my background has been in clubs for the last 10 years, promotion, production, all that kind of stuff. And just the look of the women that are out clubbing nowadays. my wife is 50, and my wife is still banging. I mean, size 3 or 0, you know, 50 years old. And we're sitting back. You know, I used to be Mr. Party Man, you know, VIP, all that kind of stuff. And I turned to her, and I look at her, I'm like, I said, is something that's kind of funny? I mean, like, these women, I'm like, is, you know, it's like 60% of them are fat. And she's like, no, it's not you, honey. She's like, yeah, they're fat.
Like, now, these women fat and some bitch. They ain't even just fat. They fat as fuck. And then you got to sit there and appease them. That's what's pissing me off. You shouldn't have to appease nobody that's doing bad stuff. You shouldn't have to make somebody feel good about themselves when it's obvious that they don't feel good about themselves. You don't love yourself. Whenever a fat woman tells me, I don't know why he left me, I'm a good woman, you don't care about yourself. So why are you mad that he don't care about you? Am I wrong for saying that?
No. I think what's happened is that the standard of females, and not just black females, but just females in general, because I've seen a whole mix of, you know, Spanish to white, you know, Indian, all of them. And my thing is that the guys that are still out that are looking decent, their choices have gotten very slim, but they tend to go for the heavier, fatter girl because it's an easier piece of quick, you know, hookup. So they don't have to do as much work because the heavier girl, whatever, she used to be hot, used to be slim, or whatever she used to be, they've let their guards down because they know they have let their self go. They know that they have not sustained a quality look. They know that they're not as appealing as they used to be. They know they can't get the guys they used to be able to. So when that guy comes up talking a little BS, this and that, his name Worm or Tommy Dog, you kind of know where you're going with this, you know. And so when you hook up with that dude and then you end up pregnant by him and then all of a sudden he's not calling you, his name is Tommy Dog, you know, his name is Worm, you know.
Yeah, so, and you just look at it, they don't get your real name. They don't get your address because you don't even want to tell this fat girl where you live.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it. They don't pay attention to any of that, Jackson. And going back into the industry that you are in, and then we'll go into a break, and then hopefully you'll be able to come back after Nita. But the industry that you're in, it has a certain look. And I made a comment where I said, fat women, you can feel good about yourself all you want to. No man of any means has married a fat woman unless he was gay. Am I wrong?
Well, that is a pretty solid true statement. But there, I'm not going to deny that, you know, bodyguarding like I've done, modeling like I've done, owning a company. Strangely enough, there are men that like, they're chubby chasers, and my brother is one. So there
I know
what
they're awesome,
there that,
but what does your brother do?
He's a barber.
I'd say it again.
he's a barber.
Unless his name is Tiki or Runde.
His name is Chuck, but he likes the big
I'm
girls.
I'm being funny. And Tiki Barber, Runde Barber.
Yeah, I got you.
See, you fuck my joke up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish the punchline.
Damn it, man. That was a good joke, too. You was supposed to laugh. It's a different kind of barber. You said to your barber, I said, unless he's Tiki or Ronde, he ain't balling like that.
I got you.
Right. But what I'm saying, you get what I'm saying. You ain't got no head of states. Name me some senators who, when they got married, when they were in the Senate, their wife was fat. Now, a lot of bitches end up fat. There was this woman on, I saw her Married to the Mob last night. This woman had all the Italian men going crazy, and she's a black woman. But they showed a few pictures of her when she was young, and she kind of fat now. But you know that my standard of fat is skewed anyway. She probably like a size 8, but I still think that's fat. Now, this woman was bad. Now, of course, she probably only hit 49 and got fat. But when the man got with her, she didn't look like she looked now, or he would have never taken her. So you feel what I'm saying? I mean, name me somebody you know, a man of means, a nigga that's a lawyer, and not the chick who helped him through law school. That's why he married to her. I'm talking about he a lawyer, and he went out and married a fat chick.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think other than Star Jones, when she was kind of swole up, I don't think there's anybody that I could think of. And Oprah Winfrey's man, you know, they keep
and that dude ain't married her, and she wasn't always fat.
That, I know. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that it's only people I can think is with substantial quality stars that have a sufficient amount of weight that are with somebody of some caliber, and but the guys are not
That was my point. See, I'm talking about show me a place where there are guys of a sufficient caliber, and the woman ain't shit. Because most of the Terrell Owens, the woman he fucked to get the baby, wasn't shit. Most of the people who they sleeping with, they ain't shit.
Well, I think oftentimes in the celebrity world, they want to keep someone as a few pegs down for them in case they decide to rear their ugly heads, and they know that that person's not going to be able to go head-to-head with them. So dealing with a woman of certain stature, you know if you half up and she a big girl, she coming at you. You know, not only is she going to be coming at your dinner plate, she's going to be coming at your wallet like it's a dinner plate. So if she's someone...
Well, all women going to get at your money. Here's the difference. All women gonna get at your money, and the poor women gonna try to break you because they only see you for money. That's why it's always a bad deal to sit up and marry a poor woman. She gonna or get a baby with a poor woman. She gonna try to break you.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why I think a lot of them try and keep, you know, some of the women like, you know, what's her name, Fantasia, and people like that try and keep those men and women around that are a couple of pegs below them, so that.
But if you look at Fantasia, this was a perfect example, and I didn't want to go to a break. Fantasia's a woman who got money, and she still can't get a man worth shit. That lets you know men will still bypass you if you got money, if you just don't look good. Nobody trying to be with you when you only can get a dude that work at a cell phone place. Come on now. Let a man with money end up with a chick that work at a cell phone place. But they look at him like he's crazy. So his only excuse got to be, but look at how fine she is. You don't see no man running after Whoopi Goldberg. You don't see no man running after Star Jones. Monique, nobody was running after Monique. Sherry Shepherd, nobody was running after Sherry Shepherd. I saw Sherry Shepherd had some nice titties. She had a horrible shape, though. I'm not making this stuff up. Y'all go ahead. I'll give y'all to the rest of the show. Name me somebody that married a fat woman. We're going to go to a break. This is Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor. I am being joined by Ms. Mo, and we're also going to be joined in just a second by my girl, Nita Marquez, right after this break. You know what time it is. Yeah, this is Your World.
Stay tuned for more Your World, My Views, the realest show on Internet radio with your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Magazines, TV shows, your know-it-all uncle, everybody's got an investment idea. How do you tell the good ones from the bad ones?
The 10 mutual funds you must own this century.
Maybe this. Thumbs up stock pick for every investor.
How can there be a stock that's right for everyone? No.
There might be something here.
How to tell which investment may be right for you. TD Ameritrade.
Free tools to evaluate stocks and mutual funds.
Free zone is good.
Buy, sell, or hold recommendations from independent sources. Stock screeners based on what's important to you.
Expert ratings from Morningstar and Standard & Poor's, plus personalized screeners to help you decide which of 100 ideas is the big idea.
It's like an idea filter.
Yeah.
Call, click, or walk into any of more than 100 local branches. TD Ameritrade. Independence is the spirit that drives America's most successful investors.
trade commission-free for 30 days. Plus, get $100 cash when you open an account.
It was just gigantic.
It was humongous.
Enormous, huge bill.
That's actually when we switched to Vonage.
The service is great.
I don't see any difference with the call quality.
More, I can just pick up the phone, call
as many family members as I want. Ugh, why did I not do this earlier? I'm Laura Pruden, and this was my last bill
before I switched to Vonage.
Time is running out to get Vonage World for just $14.99 a month with unlimited domestic and international calls. Go to Vonage.com or call now.
This is the story of old Detroit meeting new Detroit. The story of power and efficiency living together as brothers under the same roof. It's a classic tale of a best-in-class V6 engine with a modern 29 miles per gallon twist. This is the Motor City, and this is what we do.
They rise and shine, even when the sun hasn't. They treat themselves well. On occasion, even indulge. They don't run errands. They run errands. They don't see mountains. Only little bumps. They know how to kick in and kick back. That's the Ultra Life. Michelob Ultra. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and exceptionally smooth taste. It's the superior light beer, perfectly balanced for the Ultra Life.
At Wendy's, we start with a whole russet potato. Naturally, we slice it, then sprinkle it with sea salt and serve it hot and crispy for a taste that's as real as it gets. Wendy's new natural cut fries with sea salt. You know it's real.
And now, more from the man that's able to make even his own dog question their friendship. Your host, Tommy Sotomayor.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mr. Tommy Sotomayor. Yes, 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 this is Your World, My Views, and today you know what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the economy. We're going to be talking about unemployment. We're going to be talking about things you people need to be doing. You know, you people. We're going to be talking about things you people need to be doing in order to get yourself right. Things that are going on with the economy. We're going to talk about the upcoming election. Everything's going to tie in to this subject about poverty. Is that the new American reality? I also want to talk about Cat Williams. So Cat Williams was saying some stuff about some Mexicans doing a show, and Mexicans are mad at him. I'm curious about what you guys think. I wonder if we have a clip of it so I can play it of what he said. Anyway. Well, right now, what I'm going to do is bring in my girl, Nita Marquez, for her segment. Hey, Ms. Nita.
Hello.
How are you doing, dog? I had no idea you wanted to do the visual tonight. We got to start
talking.
Well,
because I know. We're both so busy. It's so hard to catch each other. The last texting session we had, we were texting back and forth about Skype, and I looked at my text earlier today just to confirm if there were any extra notes for tonight, and I was like, nope, just the Skype. So then I went to call in. I got my little white T-shirt on for you guys and curled my hair.
See, and that's my bad. So we're going to make sure we start back next Thursday because our Tuesday segment is always on Skype, and she videotapes, and then next week is going to be from like a gym or whatever. So the Tuesday segment is always on Skype, and I was looking forward to yours, but I didn't know you wanted to do it this week. So we're missing out, guys. All y'all get to see is my ugly face.
Well, we like you. The girls do.
You're trying to make me feel good, and it's working.
Well, the girls and the barbers.
Exactly. Now I want to ask, what do you want to talk about for the people today? And I don't know if it'll have anything to do with the economy. Hopefully it might have something to do with the economy or the fact that, you know, the cost of – but what do you want to talk about today with the people?
Well, I tell you, I've been getting some responses via Facebook and email, and a couple people tweeted at me. You know, one of the things that the girls are wanting to hear more about, and I'm assuming you guys get into this in the Behind the Muscle segment, but – They want to talk about the competitions because everybody knows I competed and I got the national title for fitness. But, of course, right now fitness is kind of on its way out of that sporting industry. I mean, pretty much it's dissolving all the women's bodybuilding and fitness for the most part. And now it's moving to more women's physique where we just kind of pose and figure and bikini. And bikini is like stripper 101, but with your top on. So, but it is. Any bikini coach, I mean, I've coached girls for bikini before. One of my girls, Natalie, she's won a couple of titles out here in L.A., and she is from Europe, and she does bikini, and she's like, "Ooh, you move like Zippa when you do it, Nita." And I'm like, well, yeah, that's kind of what it is, but you just keep your top on. Although I haven't seen anybody take their top off yet. I think if you flash the judges, you might get a higher score.
I would assume if I was a judge, you'd win. But I've seen some bad racks. I've seen some bad racks in a shirt. They look great, and they took their shirt off, and I was like, wow, this is horrible.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. Yeah, with the bikini, though, I wanted to talk a little bit about the dieting for it because that's the number one inquiry about that is how do you diet for bikini? You know, do you actually have to diet? And there's a big discrepancy throughout the industry because some of the trainers are like, you know, my trainer, he's like you. He thinks a size 8 is fat, and when you're fat and you need to diet.
Exactly.
And if you come to him and say, I want to do a bikini competition, but I don't want to have to diet and look hard and muscular, he'll say, okay, well, go home, watch some soaps, eat a lot of potato chips, come back a week before the show, we'll put you on some cardio, and then we'll put you on stage. I mean, seriously, it's really an odd gamble with bikini. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the diet, but I definitely wanted to talk about some of the subject matter that you guys were discussing before I actually came on because I was listening in for a while.
That's a good deal because if you don't know what happened in the last show, we discussed obesity and we discussed it from all kinds of angles. And I would love to get your take on that, too, about just what you think and whatever. But go into the segment.
Absolutely. Well, first off, with the bikini competitors and the figure and women's physique competitors, the dieting is absolutely very different. If you're going for figure, you are going to wear heels. You are going to be a little softer. But you're going to have some muscular structure on your body because if you don't, you can't get the symmetry that you need for a figure. It's very few and far between that, you know, a flawlessly symmetrical body is put on that stage, but it happens once in a while. The only girls that will tell you that they've won that have not really trained their asses off for figure or women's physique would be the ones that either A, slept with a judge, or B, I'm just being real. This is the place where I get to be real and really, really frank. I mean, I'm always real, but I don't always get to be as frank as I like to be because I'm like you, Tommy. I like to just wear it on my sleeve and, you know, it just, you know, if you really want to mess with me verbally, let's go down and you're going to end up on your back with your teeth in your throat. You know what I mean? But, but yeah, seriously, that's the only way you're going to win without training your ass off for a figure or women's physique competition. However, if you're one of those 1 in 10,000 bodies that was born with flawlessly symmetrical dimensions between your, you know, shoulders and your ankles, God bless you. More power to you. You don't have to train as hard as the rest of us. Good for you. I personally have had to literally manipulate my DNA for training for my competitions, you know, for several years. It took about 8 years till my body structure was actually fully symmetrical. I struggled for years. And I had a great body, I mean, for walking down the street, but I couldn't cut mustard on a fitness stage when it came to the physique round. So,
right. Yeah,
you definitely have to train your ass off. My advice to the women out there, go to trainers that have women in their roster that look like you, that you think realistically you have the body style of. That's the first thing. The second thing is go to a trainer that has experience with winners. If you are dealing with a trainer, it's few and far between that you'll find one that has little experience with competitions and champions, but will get you into championship condition. It happens, but very rarely.
You think, so what you're saying is basically some trainers can't train some people based upon their bodies.
absolutely. There are trainers that are phenomenal, phenomenal with physiques like mine because I'm very short. I have full muscle bellies. I have a big booty. I have big thighs. I have big calves. I had no shoulders before.
Why don't I have your phone number again? Damn.
But seriously, there are some trainers, they're gifted and blessed with assessing a physique like mine, and they know exactly what to do with them. There was a competitor in the Olympia years ago, Jennifer Wirth. She is built with the more short muscle bellies. There are trainers that just have a gift for training bodies like that and getting them in flawless condition. Me, personally, I can work with pretty much any woman's physique just because I've been doing this for so many years and have tried, tested, and true techniques that I use with all my clients. However, there are a lot of trainers that, while they may have a lot of experience training, they maybe haven't trained competitors for years, and so they maybe don't have the scope of foresight to be able to assess what you really need to do for your body if you don't look like the people they are used to training for the stage. For instance,
right.
If you were the kind of trainer that could train someone like me, you might get a girl that's 5'9", and she wants to do the tall figure competition. Well, if you're tall, it's really hard to get your body symmetrical. I mean, because they're just built like string beans, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless they're Latin or black and they got some booty, then, you know, there's some potential there. But when you're dealing with, like, European framed women or Asian women, you know, you're dealing with a very narrow structure. And then on top of it, the length just completely, you have to add so much muscle. And there are a lot of trainers that just don't have the talent nor the experience for getting a woman like that into competition conditions. So, you know, I just, like I said, it's just very important for everybody out there listening that wants to compete, whether it's bikini, whether it's figure, whether it's women's physique. You have to find a trainer that has experience training athletes in that division, and you know those athletes have done well. And then on top of it, they have a physique that, realistically, you have the ability to obtain. If you're dealing with a trainer that's got a bajillion different physiques, chances are he's going to have physique in his roster that looks something like yours. And you have the benefit of knowing that trainer is going to be able to get your physique to that stage. So that's the most important thing. And as far as the dieting goes, those things are too much to get into on a segment, but the base of all competition diets, through my experience, has been at 16 weeks out, you start cleaning up your food, but you have one cheat day every week.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, get your pens out. You always want to keep your carbs at a moderate to high level when you're at 16 weeks out. You always make the protein your staple of every meal. So you want to have about 15 to 24 grams of protein at every single meal. You want to eat several times throughout the day, every 2.5 to 3 hours. So that's competition training for figure, fitness, and women's physique. Now, as you start dieting down, those carbs will start cutting back, but they don't necessarily drop off. Then you start manipulating the times. The latter part of the day, you don't want to be doing as many carbs as you near the competition. And, of course, the last 3 weeks of the competition, you're definitely dieting down, and that's where the carbs get really low. And you might be cycling carbs, and at the same time, cycling carbs, you'd literally have to go without them for 2 to 3 days, and then you pump it back up for 2 to 3 days. So just depending on what your trainer knows is best for you, that's what I always tell girls, get somebody that knows what they're doing. Please do not waste your money training for these competitions, especially in this economy, doing it by yourself. If you're going to do it right, do it big, do it like a champion, and get up on that stage and shine at your finest. You cannot do that without a team.
All right. Now, that is the in-depth part of it. Now, you said you wanted to jump in on what we've been discussing, which is, or in the last show, we talked about obesity. And I called, and what I said was the sin that is obesity. And see, the reason that I titled it that way was because so many minorities claim to be Christians and whatnot. So I figured if they won't listen to obesity, you just tell them about it because they'll say, well, God made me this way and this is how God wants me to be. Well, I thought I would point out in the Bible that God actually doesn't want them to be that way. And I used several passages to show them that God did not want them to be that way. But people were upset about me discussing this issue. When you think about obesity and how bad it is in the United States and the fact that so many people have not wanted to hear things like my show and the last one about us talking about anything about obese people other than trying to make them love themselves more, what do you think about it? What is your take?
You know, honestly, I go to a non-denominational church. I actually go to Agape, which is Dr. Michael Bernard Beckwith's church here in California. And, you know, it's not a quote-unquote Christian church, although I'm a Christian. I just say it's non-denominational, and I roll with it, because Agape is Greek, as you know, for love.
Yes.
So, first of all, if we're really going to go here, I'm going to go real and I'm going to go raw. If you're Christian, it's not a faith, it's not a religion, it is a lifestyle. So if your heart is not living Christian, then I don't care what church you go to, you're not Christian. Secondly, if you're going to Bible thump, not only do you have to know the Bible, because remember, Satan knew the Bible like the back of his hand, but not only do you have to know the Bible, once again, that book was not written for a faith, it was not written for a religion, it was written for the purpose of people's lifestyles. It was written for the purpose of leadership and guidance and spiritual development and the evolution of man's awareness of what is within him that is given to him by God. So if you're really going to go there, especially with someone like me, when my ex-husband and I, we used to go to the same church for the duration of our entire marriage we went to. And because of all the gossip during our divorce, I decided to leave there. But, you know, one of the things that we got into a lot in class was they would always talk about, and I'm just, again, I'm going to be really raw here. Everybody always had something to say about what I was wearing. My ex-husband, he's a brother. I'm a Latin woman. Our upbringing or our culture or whatever you want to call it, we are very, just by nature, people are sexual beings. Anybody that says that is wrong is a damn liar, and they masturbate behind closed doors. It says they have some words of virgin. I'm sorry. So by nature, we are sexual beings. When I dressed a certain way, I always got some kind of comments, you know how people are. So especially in church, and if I heard a comment, they literally would have to listen to me, just like you guys listen to me, but you give me the permission. I would take the floor in that Sunday school class and go off, because I would say, you know, it's really funny how we talk about how we need to carry ourselves as women and as wives and how we need to be a certain way as Christian women. You know, it's funny because we have bake sales here at this church every week, and I don't see any of these heifers trying to modify what they're bringing into the bake sales. Half these people are diabetic. 90% of them have a body fat percentage that is way out of control. And none of them that I know of go to the gym. We had a gym at the church, state-of-the-art gym. It was better than the gym I belong to. You think that place is overcrowded?
Nope.
Not with the people that went to the church. Nope. All the kids that lived up the street that went to high school down the street, they went to that gym. So, to me, if we're going to talk about Christianity, I have a number of views on people that claim themselves to be of the Christian faith, because, again, I say it's not a faith, it is a lifestyle. If you don't have that spirit of Christ in you, you're not a Christian. So
well,
you can't come at me about
well,
it, you know?
Well, the biggest thing I was trying to point out is, since you won't listen to logic, because all these people are minorities that claim they're religious and they love the Lord and they're Christian and all that stuff, I said, well, then, hell, if I talk on this plane, you should at least see that it's not me just condemning you because you're fat because I don't like it. I'm condemning you because, one, it's not healthy, two, because you're dying, and then let me just add the religious aspect of it, and maybe you'll listen. But it's like with
anything else out
of the Bible, people decide what they want to take that the Bible says, they want to take literally, and the other thing, they'll decide that, oh, well, he didn't really mean that.
Well, which is exactly what they were doing in my Bible study class, and they had a comment to make. They literally made the topic for conversation one day on how a woman should dress, especially if she's Christian and married. oh boy, you know, I had a field day with those people. And Sunday,
wait a minute, what were you
doing?
Were you showing your titties? I mean, because you're not a big girl, so you would have had to been wearing some real tight stuff.
Yeah, well, a lot of my, because I'm little, I'm only 4'10", and I'm very curvy. I have a booty, like I said, and I have thighs. And, you know, I always wore, like, lots of little dresses. They were generally tight. It wasn't like I was going out to the club to go dancing. I didn't have half my ass hanging out. I don't even dress like that when I'm going to the club. But
well, because
you know,
I used to date a small woman like you, though. I used to date a woman. I'd say she was about 5'3", but she was only like 105 pounds, but she had a huge ass. She didn't have any chest, but she had a huge ass. Well, I mean, it was still easy to cover because she was a small chick. I mean, it wasn't huge like huge. It was just huge for her size. So when she wore something tight, yes, it looked big, but if she didn't wear anything tight, it's like a woman with a B cup. If she wears something tight, then you'll say, wow, she got nice breasts, but she can easily cover them. You seem easily covered.
Well, not only that, but my comeback that day was, first of all, I'm a wife before I'm a member in this Sunday school class. So let me just say this. My husband likes the way that I look when I go out to come to church in the morning. So that was my first statement to them. But also, you know, my attire wasn't so much that it was raunchy or overly risque. It's just that I have that kind of little body that when you put anything that's slightly form-fitting, it looks like I'm dressing sexy when I'm not, even.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a $1,200 suit that I had custom tailored. It's a Vertigo. It's Spanish. And, no, Italian. Sorry, it's Italian. Mm-hmm. And I look fine as shit when I wear that thing. And it's a suit. Okay, pants. And my booty looks nice when I wear that. So
well, then,
like,
that, then
you
that's
know,
the problem. You know, if you look at it and say yeah, something looked nice, you probably shouldn't wear it to church. If you say, I'm just playing devil's advocate, because I know my mom talks about this too, and she's a pastor, and she talked about one time that she was sitting down in an audience and somebody came and brought her a little shawl or something to put over her lap because they said that her dress was too short. And she said she took it
if
off.
If it's too short, yeah, if it's too short and you're saying, hey, come and look at my sunshine, then, yeah, you got a problem. But if
yeah, but see,
church,
it's the same way.
Nice,
I mean, I'm a man, and I'll tell you, if I saw you had a nice ass, me hearing about your nice ass is getting me horny.
But see, here's the issue. This is where it comes down to accountability, which you and I are very big on.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not have the self-control to look at a woman and appreciate that she is fit and she takes care of herself without perverting it, and saying, oh, my God, look at the way her ass is shaped in those pants.
Yeah, but I shouldn't have to see
tight.
It, though. I will agree.
But if they're not skin tight,
I will agree to a certain extent.
Too.
I will agree to a certain extent because it goes back to
exactly
what you said. You said we're sexual beings. So if we're sexual beings by nature, I don't give a damn if we at a funeral. If I can see your tits and your ass, my mind is going to, because you said it, we're sexual beings. So my mind is going to go towards sex because you're showing me the sexual aspects of yourself.
I said we're sexual beings by nature. I didn't say we're sexually out of control by nature.
Well, that's not out of control for me to look at you and think, wow, that's a nice ass, because you said it about yourself.
Exactly. And when I say it looks nice, I mean it looks better than the lady that had on the same slacks, but you could see the cellulite dimples through her.
So don't you think a man is going to think that if he's in church and you walk past him, by the logic you just said?
Did you just hear the last part of my statement?
Oh, no. What did you say?
I said, even if her pants are tighter than mine. See, she's not going to get any flack for wearing her tight slacks to church because she's got cellulite on her ass, so she looks unattractive. If mine are looser than hers, but my ass looks nicer in them, then I would get flack.
But, darling,
that's
a double standard. I dated a girl that had the girl I was telling you about who had no breasts. She used to literally walk out the house in a tank top, and I didn't give a damn. I dated a girl with a D cup, and she put on a tank top, and we got into an argument that day. I said, how dare you walk outside in that tank top? Because it's a difference. Even kids. Kids see women with big breasts and try to hug them.
Right.
And they don't know no better.
Right, because they haven't been jaded or they are still just.
Yes, but I know when I was a little boy, I used to love women with big breasts. Before I even knew what I could do with them, I knew I liked them.
Everybody likes breasts if they sucked on them when they were babies. That's a natural thing.
Yeah, there's some guys that don't like breasts, though. They can't stand it. They don't like breasts. I'm one of them weird guys. But I really like breasts. I would never pay attention to your butt.
Right, right. Well,
but what I'm saying
is,
I can,
talking about the spirituality of people's weight, and I'm bringing this into play because there are people that will, I wasn't saying right, wrong, or indifferent, but I was saying that there are people that will pay more attention to the way a woman's dressed rather than saying, wow, let's appreciate the fact that person takes care of herself, and the girl over here that's wearing the muumuu and is really quite offensive with the cellulite she's got in her calves, we're not saying anything to her, but she's being a glutton. But that we should be offended by this other person. My point was, and I was playing the devil's advocate, was basically, if you're gonna go the religious route, not you, but if people are gonna go the religious route, you have to be constant if you're gonna play that card. You've got to be consistent. There's got to be a constancy there.
Well, that's why I brought up the subject, because I know a lot of people bring up that card. Because when I was talking about homosexuality, and I'll say that that's a more adequate quid pro quo. When they brought up the homosexuality, the first thing people threw up was, "Well, the Bible says it's wrong." Well, so to the fat people who are actually, so to the fat people who cover the South, the religious Southern Baptist South, it's a whole bunch of them. And all the religious people do is after church, they eat. They always do stuff that revolves around food. And the Bible is telling them that's not right. That once it gets to the point where food is just like anything else, because when someone says it's unnatural, you hear fat people say they got big bones, and doctors have to tell them there's no such thing as big bones, because when your ass die and then when all that flesh go away, your bones going to be the same size as somebody else's. You just got a lot of flesh around it. But they don't want to hear that, and that's why I wanted to discuss it that way, and I got so much pushback. And with you, it sounds like you have the same thought process that you're saying, hey, you got too many people in this church who are literally going to die between 55 and 60 of some kind of disease. They're 40 years old and 30 years old with high blood pressure and diabetes and on dialysis at 40-something, yet no one says anything. Why do you think no one says anything to them at all when it is obviously, one, it's in the Bible, and two, it's unhealthy?
I totally agree with you on that, which brings me again back to that same point, is if you're going to play that card, there's got to be a constant, and it is just as much in the Bible not to be a glutton as it is not to be an adulterer, as it is not to be a murderer, as it is not to bear false witness. It says just as many times in the Bible that you need to exercise self-control. I mean, read Corinthians. Paul's talking all about self-control.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There are so many.
There's gluttony, there's greed, and there's sloth. There's three things that you are breaking. Three of the top seven, or the what they call them, the seven deadly sins. You're breaking three of them in one by being obese.
Right.
And this is what shocks me about why we don't talk about it. And when I talked about it, you should have saw the hate mail I got. You should have heard the show. You should have saw the hate mail I got before the show just for doing the show.
Right. Well, because, first of all, you do a show where you know that you can speak freely. You know people are going to have something to say. When are you not raising eyebrows, Tommy? The reality is, what I love about your show, and you know, sure, none of us always agree constantly with every single thing we hear on the show, but the reality is this is a forum for people to have a chance to express those thoughts, and even if they don't want to express those thoughts openly, you are jogging people's thoughts, and that's the wonderful thing about this freedom that we have in this country for our speech is, you know, you may not agree with everything I say, but I'm going to get you thinking. I have the right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I may not convince you, and I don't need to convince you. Truthfully, me, Nita Marquez, I ain't trying to convince anybody of shit. I'm doing my best to be my best.
Yep.
I don't need your approval, and I'm not looking to win you over, but I will get you thinking if you want to come at me sideways. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I like that, because that is what I tell people all the time. The biggest thing I tell people is, you will never grow or learn if you only hang around people you agree with.
Oh, God, and if you only hang out with people that agree with you, well, God bless you. You're going to have a very short, dull life.
Yes. What can you learn if everything you say, someone says that's right? How can you learn?
Exactly. Exactly. And you and myself included, I mean, I'm sure that there are hundreds of emails that you've gotten that even if you didn't necessarily agree with the content, it definitely got your, it fueled your thought processes. And that's the wonderful thing about conversation and communication and all the openness that we have here on the show is, you know, we, like I said, we may not express it openly all the time, but we are always in thought, and God bless that, because the devil's playground is definitely in an idle mind.
Yeah, exactly. So, now, I want to ask you, well, I got to ask you something, though, because, of course, you're Mexican, so I want to ask you something. I don't know if you saw it or heard it. There was a
I did not hear it. I keep hearing about this, but I don't watch TV, and I rarely listen.
Oh, I don't watch it either. I just came across it on I don't watch it either. I came across it honestly on what was it? On what was it called? YouTube. Yes, I came across it on YouTube. And when I came across it on YouTube, the people were discussing Cat Williams. And when I saw him discussing Cat Williams, I said, well, you know, what happened? And since you're Mexican, what he did was he went off on the Mexican guy, because the Mexican guy was standing up in the middle of his show and he kept saying, fuck America. Well, Cat Williams got offended that he said fuck America, and he told him, if you don't like it, go back to Mexico. And the guy said, you're standing in Mexico, because they were in Phoenix. And he said, you're standing in Mexico. So Cat Williams went off on him and said, no, we're in America. He said, if you loved, and then he was like, this used to be Mexico. He said, then how did they take it from you? If you love that shit so much, they shouldn't have been able to take it from you. But if you're going to be here talking about fuck America, then you need to go back where you're from. And it's funny because Cat Williams said the same thing I always say about blacks. If you're going to say fuck America, then go where you think it's better. Hell, I don't even like people in New York that come to Georgia and say fuck Georgia. Then go back to New York.
What are my thoughts on it? Is that what you're
asking? Do you think he was wrong for telling the guy, once the guy got up and said fuck America, he said to go back to Mexico?
You know, I'm not one to call anybody wrong unless they're just blatantly wrong, like they murdered somebody's child. But if we're gonna talk about that, I believe that comments like that are a matter, they should really be interpreted by the interpreters as through the matter of perspective that they were spoken in. First of all, it was a heated moment. Second of all, he was defending his country that gives him the liberty to go ahead and, or that gives that other asshole the liberty to go ahead and say, fuck America, okay? That, don't forget, he has the freedom to say that, because if you were in some other countries, they'd have shot you right between the eyes right there, or they would have made a festival of it.
Exactly.
In front of the entire community. So, you know, just the fact that he had the freedom in this country to do that just tells you, it tells you something about his ignorance for even speaking that way. Either that or he was just, I mean, you know.
But haven't you noticed that a lot of, okay, I just want to ask you this. Haven't you noticed that a lot of your countrymen will come to the United States, enjoy the freedoms of the United States, but will continue to claim their home country?
Sure. You know, I think that's a matter of pride and holding on to your roots. I mean, it's just like any other heritage in this country. I mean, I know people, very few, but I actually have a friend who, her entire family, every year they go back to Ireland. They actually own a castle out there that they've had for centuries. They all get together in the family, and they're not like a posh white family. They just are all middle class. In fact, she works at the university in the financial aid office, and she goes to school part time. That's how posh she is. But they go back, they celebrate their heritage. And when you ask her where she's from, she was born in the United States, but she'll say she's from Ireland. God bless her for that. She's holding on to her roots. She's carrying something forth for her children to be able to embrace. And you know what? If you don't want your
does
kids
she
to embrace
say
that,
she's
you're
from
all for
Ireland, or does she say she's Irish?
Yeah, she'll say she's Irish. You know,
okay,
because
I was about to say, to
from?
Say you're from Ireland is just a blatant lie.
Right. But, yeah, she says she's Irish. She's from Ireland.
There you go. Okay, I get that.
From Ireland. So, but here's the thing. If those people that you're talking about, first of all, if they're here legally and they still claim that they're from there, well, obviously, they were probably born there, so they're from there. Like, if you were to ask my grandma where she's from the United States. If you were to ask her mom where she's from, my great-grandma, she's from Mexico, but she's been in the United States for, you know, since a bajillion years ago, right? So I don't personally think there's anything wrong with it. Again, I think those types of, I think there's no black or white way to interpret that kind of a statement. It is a very subject to the perspective of the speaker in a given moment. And with that given moment, there comes other comments that they might be responding to, an environment or a climate in the environment that they may need to be needing to hold on to their roots and stand their ground on, because it's a matter of protecting, you know, their pride and their heritage. You know, maybe they're making that statement. You never know when people make statements like that where it's coming from. So, you know, the biggest thing in this country that we have a huge problem with is, in my opinion, is going ahead and feeling as though we have the authority to make a call just because it's our interpretation. Like, how do you know that that's the freaking reason that that person made that statement? That they were being an asshole or that they were being ignorant? How do you know that maybe in that moment, like, okay, I just called that guy ignorant, the Mexican guy that said, you know, oh, well, you know, F America. How do I know somebody didn't just say, well, America doesn't want you here? You know, I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate, and I'm being very...
No, that's what I was saying, but the problem is a lot of Mexican-Americans were trying to get Cat Williams. You just explained my point. A lot of them were trying to get Cat Williams to apologize, and he said no. He said, one, I'm a comedian. Two, I was responding to somebody.
Exactly.
He said, I came there to tell jokes. I didn't come there to talk politics or race. He
exactly.
brought that up.
Okay, so in that respect, I'm gonna 100%, because I didn't know about that response, I'm gonna 100% agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm Mexican. That's coming from a Mexican. And
because
you know,
he didn't call him
out
of his name. He didn't even use any racial epithets. He just said, if you don't like it here, go home.
Yeah, and I couldn't disagree with that. I mean, honestly, I would make the same statement, and I'm Mexican. You know, I don't like for anybody to I mean, me, I'm a very, you know, I like to talk about empowering things, and if I'm not empowering somebody, I at least want to be talking about something that's creating awareness for one or both of us. You know what I mean? Debates are great to me because we don't have to put each other down. We can do it in a diplomatic, very educated, polished fashion and be astute, and we can communicate something and disagree and still help each other evolve. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. And God bless him for being open enough to go ahead and say what he said. I mean, he responded to something, again, where he felt like, you know what, it's my right to stand my ground on what I'm proud of. He's proud of the country he's from. God bless you, Cat Williams, for thanking, you know, this country that you live in for the freedom of speech to go ahead and say what you said. And at the same time, if we really evaluate the other guy, again, or if we really evaluate the situation, it wasn't a matter of was Cat Williams right or wrong. It was a matter of, wow, how ignorant was that guy for carrying himself like that? I'm Mexican, and personally, I find shame in the way he was acting.
And that's how I feel about when I say the same thing about black people. Black people have never been to Africa, and if they get up and say, fuck America, I'm like, really? Then go where they want you. Why don't you find the country that wants you? I wrote in one of my blogs, I said, nobody from Africa has ever sent any plane tickets over here and asked us to come back. Seriously.
I love that.
So why in the hell are you talking about fuck America when there are some bad things wrong with America? But damn it, and it's like, and I get mad at black women. They tell me that I don't have the right to talk about black women, yet they talk about America. They say because I'm black, I shouldn't talk about black women, yet they're American and they talk about America.
Yeah. No, I totally feel you. I totally feel you. No, I am 100% in agreement with what Kat's response was. And most definitely, once again, I mean, when you were explaining the whole scenario to me, the first thing I thought of was, oh, my God, he just made us look really bad. That's the Mexican that no other Mexican should be even asking for an apology for. They should be apologizing on behalf of him, saying, oh, my God, we're so sorry. He's not really one of us.
And the funny thing was, the funny thing was, Nita, I was reading some of the comments because when I saw it on YouTube, of course, you know, people comment. And the funny thing was, the guy never said anything racially against the Mexican guy, never called him a name. Yet the first thing the responders were saying was, this nigger, this porch monkey. They were calling him all kinds of stuff for what he said. And I said, that lets you know what people think about you when you have a disagreement with one person, and then the next thing you know, they call you out of your name, a racial name that you would be shocked that they would call you. And then you'd be sitting beside your Mexican friend that called him a nigger and say, wait a minute, do you feel that way about me? And he'd say, no, not you, just him.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna actually even go a layer deeper than that, Tommy. It's not even about saying, it's not even about making the observation that, oh, that tells us what those people think of us when they act like that or say those things out of malice. You know what? What it really tells us, once again, is, wow, that's an ignorant bunch of people. Just, you know, the best advice somebody gave me when I was going through my divorce and I was having my bitter moments, because let's face it, all those statements are made in bitter moments.
Yes.
Out of insecurity of some nature, right? And this woman told me I was ranting and raving about how pissed off I was, and, you know, he's this and he's that, right? How he's so wrong. And so I was having a bitter moment, and this lady told me once, she said, don't you know that the best revenge in life is good living?
Mm-hmm.
You just let other people be ignorant. They'll hang themselves with their own ropes. You just keep living good. And if people would walk through life just doing that, oh, my God, it would be so much easier. The best revenge truly is good living. I'm not saying that everybody's going to be flawless and we don't want to vent once in a while, but for crying out loud, does it really have to be that deep? It's like, why are we even offended by the things that those people said? I mean, personally, I mean, my kids are black. My ex-husband is black. I'm Mexican, and I'm looking at all the ignorant people that were commenting on either side, whether they were black or Mexican. I'm like, wow, I don't want to hang out with any of those.
Ooh, I wish I could get into some more of this with you, because you just brought up something else that we were talking about earlier about the kids and why the kids, if they're mixed, we automatically call them black. They don't get to pick the other side. That's weird. If they're mixed with black, they're automatically black. They don't get to pick anything else but black.
My kids are Blaxican. they're well aware of it. They're blacks again.
How you just said, like it flowed out. Even Barack Obama's mama said she referred to him as a black child, even though he was mixed.
Right.
I just find it weird
right.
that it's so easy to call a child black, but other races don't accept. Black people can't just jump and call themselves. Like, even when I say I'm Hispanic, people look at me like it's impossible.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the ignorant bunch. Sorry.
And it's like when you look at these mixed people, Mariah Carey can't say she white. If she says she white people will laugh. White people won't accept her, but black people accept anybody. Anybody that says they're black, the head of the NAACP, oh, God, I got so much I got to talk to. Damn it, we up against a break. Nita, tell them how they can get in contact with you. I want to continue this conversation with you, but tell them how they can get in contact with you, where they can send some information.
Absolutely. You can follow me at Nita Marquez on Twitter, or you can catch me on Facebook at / Nita Lee Marquez. That's Nita Lee, like my grandpa Jimmy Lee, Marquez, M-A-R-Q-U-E-Z.
Good deal. Darling, thank you for joining us. This was a long segment and fun. You got into two things that I really love talking about. Well, you got into like three of them. And I definitely love talking about, like, the idea of women's dressing. You brought up something that I think I might end up making a show about, the idea of what's appropriate, what isn't appropriate, and why is it appropriate for one person and not appropriate for the other one. Because I talk about that all the time. If you don't have no titties, you can go out with no shirt on. Nobody give a shit.
Yep. But the second you look good. That's what I'm saying. It's the second you look good. Why do people have to just... I'm not saying you have to look trashy to look good, but what I was saying about those pants wasn't that I had them hugging up on my butt. I was saying I look good. My ass looked nice. Like, it wasn't tight around my butt, but my butt looked nice in those pants.
Well, here's the difference.
Good.
You worked out your ass, and I tell people that all the time. It's not fair that somebody does the hard work for their body, but then because you're insecure with your body, they have to cover theirs to make you feel better.
Exactly.
To show that
exactly.
you haven't. Because what happens is, when you come in with stuff on, and I was just playing devil's advocate, but when you come in with nice stuff on, what that does is it makes the fat girl's husband look at her and say, well, why you can't go to the gym?
Oh, yeah. Well,
and
you
so
know, that,
they don't want to have to deal with that.
That's another that you're right. That's a whole other show, because I tell you what, I have so much to say about mothers that, oh, good for you that you go to the gym so much. I have to take care of my kids, and I'm like, well, do I have a bunch of little? I mean, what are my kids like, kittens, and they don't actually need to be fed and hot? So
exactly.
Are you saying that I just raised like a bunch of I have baboons and you have children, because I obviously don't raise mine. I just spend my whole life at the gym. What is
you
that?
Are right. Exactly. Now, we got to run to a break, because we came to the we way past it. But I've thoroughly enjoyed this. Thank you so much for joining.
All right. Thank you so much. I'll see you guys next week.
All right. Hey, guys, she'll be here every Thursday night, 9:15 Eastern Standard Time. Hey, if you're on the line right now and it kicks you off, don't worry about it. You know how it works. Call back in. Be a part of the next segment when we go to this break and we come back. This is Your World, My Views. Tell your friends, tell your family, or hide your kids, hide your wife. Yeah.
We'll be back faster than it takes Mel Gibson to ruin a marriage and a career. Your World, My Views. Keep it locked.